Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, welcome to another edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're joined by our Bible Answer Man Facebook live crew as well. So a combined broadcast today. And want to make sure that if you're listening to me on radio, that you have the opportunity to speak directly to me by asking your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. As always, you can contact us on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And for everyone listening in, whatever venue you're using, do remember we have resource consultants that can be accessed by simply dialing 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And the last day for the book, 10 Books That Screwed Up the World, 5 Others That Didn't Help, by Dr. Benjamin Weicker. I've been doing a series of videos extracted in large part from this book. You can see those videos if you go to equip.org and wherever videos are consumed, I'm sure. So remember, this book, available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world. Also, do remember my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. I'm going to be speaking about this book at the conference in Washington, D.C. All of that is coming up next week. We'll be talking more about that, but if you want to get a sense of what I'm talking about, simply go to the web at equip.org or go to the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. We have placed in these venues the video that is put on by the Archon Religious Freedom Conference. So check that out on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. This subject is the subject that I want to start the broadcast off with today. Obviously, when I say Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, I'm talking about something of transcendent importance. Why? Because it is the world's fastest growing religion. Islam has now surpassed Christianity and is today uniquely poised to reshape Western civilization. And let me put this bluntly. Not one single post-Christian nation has a birth rate sufficient to keep it alive. Pope John Paul II, I think, probably said it better than anyone else, and this was eminently quotable. He said that a nation that kills its own children is a nation without hope. Now, we not only have a population problem, but that population problem is compounded by an acute persecution problem. In the West, Christians are facing the specter of militant secularism. And I think, Christina, that no one has depicted that reality any better than the brilliant essayist Mary Eberstadt. I've had her on the Bible Answer Man broadcast many times. When I say brilliant, I think she is exactly that, brilliant. She wrote a book that was titled It's Dangerous to Believe. And in that, she soberly noted that the C for Christian has become the new scarlet letter. And let me read a quote from that book. She points out that the high school football coach suspended in Washington State in 2015 for kneeling to say a prayer at the end of a game is an example of this new scarlet letter. The American military chaplains who claim to have been reassigned on account of their faithfulness to traditional Christianity, the small business owners working in the wedding industry at a time when vindictiveness in the name of the sexual revolution is apparently boundless, the Christian staffer at a daycare center who would not address a six-year-old girl as a boy and was fired on account of it, the teacher fired in New Jersey for giving a curious Bible, a curious student a Bible, and related cases in which acting on religious conviction has been punished at times vehemently. And as I've said many times, all of this is but the tip of the Muslim spear. While Christians are being marginalized in the West, they're being martyred in the East, and again, that is squarely in the blind spot of the West. But let me give you just a little bit of a history lesson. Just over 100 years ago, the year was 1914, the last Muslim caliphate issued a fatwa that mandated all Muslims massacre Christians in their midst. The fatwa, in concert with historical precedents, invoked one Quranic passage after another. And by the way, that included the Surah of the Sword, the famous surah, "Slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Siege them. Besiege them. Be ready to ambush them." And in keeping with that mandate, the Ottoman Caliphate crucified, beheaded, tortured, mutilated, raped, enslaved. They massacred countless, well, what they called infidels, infidel Christians. The number of Armenians killed in this genocide, the number is staggering, 1.5 million. And then hundreds of thousands of Greeks, Assyrians, each were also systematically slaughtered. I remember Henry Morgenthau, he was the U.S. ambassador at the time, the ambassador of the Ottoman Empire. He somberly reflected upon a mass genocide to which he had been privy. He said that he was confident that in the whole history of the human race, there was no such horrible episode as this. The great persecutions of the past seem almost insignificant when compared with the sufferings of the Armenians in 1915. And in Red Cross magazine, Morgenthau added this penetrating question: will the outrageous terrorizing, the cruel torturing, the driving of women into harems, the debauchery of innocent girls, the sale of many of them at 80 cents each, the murdering of hundreds of thousands, the deportation to and starvation in the deserts of other hundreds of thousands, the destruction of hundreds of villages and cities, the willful execution of this whole devilish scheme to annihilate the Armenian, Greek, and Syrian Christians after, will all of this go unpunished? And we might appropriately add an equally noteworthy question, and that is, will it even be remembered? Hitler cynically anticipated the collective amnesia of the modern world when he said, "I've given orders to my death units to exterminate without mercy or pity men, women, and children belonging to the Polish-speaking race." After all, said Hitler, who remembers the extermination of the Armenians? Thankfully, there are some great, great documentaries on this out, even as we speak. But let me add to the population and persecution problem one other problem, and that is the propaganda problem. And I actually wrote about this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. I alliterated it so it's memorable. You have the population problem, you have the persecution problem, but you have a propaganda problem as well, because over and over again, in myriad ways, the West is being seduced into believing that Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. And the flip side of that coin is that Christianity is a crusader religion, and as such, the epitome of intolerance. But lost in all the pandering and propaganda is an inviolate truth, and that is, if Islam is anything at all, it is theocratic. Quranic theology recognizes no separation between Sharia and state, only that Sharia is state and state is Sharia. Now, obviously, Jesus had a different point of view. He underscored separation of church and state with those words, those memorable words, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." Make no mistake, you and I live at a tipping point in human history. And while squarely in the blind spot of the West, Christians in the Middle East face mass genocide. But concurrently, we have this demographic time bomb that is threatening a Western world seemingly blind to the polygamous rush of migrant Muslims filling the vacuum left by aging, dying, aborted Europeans. And while the West continues to coddle an Islamic time bomb, it is simultaneously cultivating a rash of self-destructive ideals. And I have a quote, and I will see if I can find it here, but it is a quote by Oz Guinness, who said this: "The legitimization and the normalization of polyamory, polygamy, pedophilia, incest follow the same logic as that of abortion and homosexuality. The socially destructive consequences of these trends will reverberate throughout society until the social chaos is beyond recovery. We can only pray that there will be a return to God and to sanity before the terrible sentence is pronounced. God has given them over to the consequences of their own settled choices." Again, that is the prophetic pen and voice of Oz Guinness. I've had him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast many times. I did a podcast with him. You can find that on the web at equip.org. But I want to end this this segment with a question that I hope that you will ponder. And you can comment on this on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page as well. But that question is simply this: will Christianity, will Christians, will they once again do for the truth what Islam, what Muslims, or even now doing for a lie? And Christina, you actually commented on this earlier when you said the first thing that we can do is we can pray. And I've said this many times, prayer is firing the winning shot.
Well, prayer is really important because it doesn't, it's not only that you're participating in the spiritual kingdom, in a sense, in offering up your prayers, and but also that you're changing yourself. You're becoming more aware because you're meditating on it every day. You're thinking about it. And what you think about, you do. So if you're not thinking about something, you're obviously not going to do it. But if you are, then you look around at different opportunities and realize different ways that you can help because you're made more aware.
Yeah. And so you can pray. You can also learn. The conference in Washington, D.C. is about learning. And what I learned there, I'm going to speak there, obviously, but what I learned myself, I'll be sharing with the audience we have at the Christian Research Institute. So you can pray, you can learn. And once you've learned, you can share what you've learned with others. And I think that, as I mentioned to our Bible Answer Man Facebook crew, we can also give. When you see Muslims being willing to give hundreds of millions of dollars for the propagation of a lie, how much more so should Christians be willing to give for that which is true? And I'm thinking about this in the global sense because we're only going to be here for a short period of time. You can't take what you have with you, but you can most certainly take what you have and send it ahead. And I hope many will do that by supporting the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We are a voice without compromise in an age of political correctness. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CR. I do remember for those who join CR's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. This is the giving season, so give generously and give as unto the Lord. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in just a few moments.
While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences. Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization so you don't have to. This month, we are offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Here's a question. Why are rivers polluted downstream? Because of contaminants upstream. Bad ideas have consequences, and just as toxins in our water can cause disease and even death, toxic ideas can cause millions of deaths over centuries. Benjamin Weicker brilliantly distills some of history's most dangerous ideas in 10 Books That Screwed Up the World and 5 Others That Didn't Help. To receive your copy of 10 Books That Screwed Up the World as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and welcome back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember the number to dial to get your questions answered on the radio? 888-ASK-HANK. Your comments and your questions also available on our Bible Answer Man Facebook page. We'll be addressing both during the time we have on today's broadcast. The subject, of course, is a somber subject. It is the subject of persecution. Glad to have people joining us from all over the world. It's particularly delightful to have someone join us from Georgia, not Georgia in the United States, but the country of Georgia. And if you don't know where that is, look it up on the map. It is a country that has been in the news for many, many reasons, particularly with respect to the Russian invasion a number of years ago. Cynthia is joining us, saying, "I, Hank, and Studio Group on quick break at work." Thank you so much for taking that time out on your break to talk to us and to encourage us. Cynthia, thank you so much. Nebyet, I guess, is how you pronounce that. Hello. God bless you and your family. Alberto Perez, thanks, Hank. Love everything you do. Chris, love you, Hank. Before and after Earth. And maybe a quick comment on that. The beautiful issue here is that this earth is not going to be dispensed with. God does not scrap things, He redeems them. And that is precisely what's going to happen with this earth. It is going to be redeemed. The universe now groans in travail, but as Romans 8 puts it, is going to be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we also ourselves, as 1 Corinthians 15 puts it. Tracy has a question, so we'll be taking questions on Facebook as well as on the radio broadcast. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial if you want to dial in through the broadcast. Of course, you're going to get the answer both ways, whether you're on the Bible Instrument Facebook page or whether you're listening on the radio. But Tracy Adams Kerr asks, "Have you read the works by Dr. John Walton, Wheaton College, especially on the book of Genesis? What is your opinion of his work?" You went to Wheaton.
I did go to Wheaton. I actually took his class.
Oh, wow.
but I'm trying to remember. I looked up while you were talking. I was paying attention while looking up stuff. And I did that often in college. Just don't tell anyone. I was actually watching some videos while trying to pay attention in class. Mm-hmm. But that's not wise. Don't do that. So anyway, so John Walton, so he reads the Old Testament according to an article. I think it's Christianity Today that wrote an article on him. And he reads it in the context of the ancient world. So he talks about how, not about how God made, but how he assigns functions is how they describe it. He emphasizes Adam as a historical person, but also having a primary function as representing all of humanity. He's not concerned about human material origins, but about God-given function and purpose. How Genesis describes to be in relationship with God and work alongside him as his image bearer in bringing continued order to our world. He actually gets some of his views, he says, from the church fathers. He says the historical Adam doesn't have implications for biological human origins. He says something that you often say, it's written for us, but not to us. And he really tries to understand the culture where it's written when he interprets Genesis, in that it was written in an ancient Near East. So though it might not be completely identical to other Near Eastern, Middle Eastern doctrines, there are some similarities that help you interpret it. So those are some of the things he says.
Yeah, interesting. And so you're saying there's a lot of good, but some of which you would take issue with, I'm sure. You took his class, so I'm glad you were able to speak to that subject. I'm not really familiar with what he has written or said. I will say one thing, though, in a general sense. Again, I don't want to comment specifically on what he said because I haven't read what he said, haven't heard what he said. But I would say this with respect to the historical Adam and Eve. This is a very significant issue. Jesus believed in a historical Adam and Eve. And so if there's anyone out there that doubts a historical Adam and Eve, remember you're doubting what Jesus made clear. Not only that, but if you look at the genealogies, for example, the genealogy of Luke goes all the way back to the first Adam. And it does that in order to point to Jesus Christ as the second Adam, who did what the first Adam could not do. So there's a very strong biblical precedent for a historical Adam and Eve, and I think to deny that is to deny what is very, very clear in Scripture. And there are many people now denying a historical Adam and Eve, and I think that is a grave, grave error. Now, that does not mean that you have to take Genesis in a wooden, literalistic sense. We must always take Genesis in the sense in which it's intended. For example, a lot of people want to read the book of Genesis and then give us an age of the universe. The problem with that is Genesis is not written to give us any kind of age parameters. It is more expressly talking about chirology than chronology, meaning the purposes of God in creation rather than how long anything took. If you want to find out how old the universe is, the way you find that out is by looking at another book, and that is God's book of nature. I'm talking about what Psalm 19 refers to when it talks about not only the book of the law, but the heavens that declare the glory of God, the skies that proclaim the work of his hands, day after day pour forth speech, night after night proclaim knowledge, no speech or language where their voice is not heard, their words go out to the ends of the earth. Or what Paul said, God's eternal power, his divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. So again, critical that we read Genesis in the sense in which it is intended. A lot of metaphor in Genesis, but that does not in any way negate the fact that we have in Genesis a historical narrative. You have a narrative of what happened prior to the flood. You have a narrative of what happened after the flood. The genealogies, however, the ones before the flood, the ones after the flood, are obviously, if you look at the numbers that are given, they're symmetrical. They're not sequential. So you can't draw any kind of a date out of that for how old the universe is, as many tried to do and said the universe is 6,000 years old or 5,000 years old or somewhere in that range, 10,000 years old. If that were the case, you'd have to get that information from the book of nature as opposed to the Bible.
And I guess that's probably a point where you and Mr. Walton agree that the Bible doesn't necessarily, is not meant to talk about scientific origins, but rather it's a way, Genesis is a, as you've told me, to correct me if I'm wrong, Moses writes it as a way for us to remember how God created us and our, you know, that humans are the apex of creation, for example. They're the shining jewel, as you say. So.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm glad you're listening to me occasionally. No, that's absolutely right.
I mean,
what you have actually in the 7 days of creation is a hierarchy, not a chronology. It culminates in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. Humankind made in the image and likeness of God. And to get back a little bit to the persecution theme that we were talking about earlier, this is critical because those being persecuted, those who are being exiled and executed, crucified and beheaded in the Middle East, are people made in the image and likeness of God. They are stamped with His image. They're being conformed to His likeness, and it is a horrendous evil to murder someone made in the image and likeness of God. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, but they're going to go to heaven. The fact of the matter is, though, what we do now counts for all eternity. Our lives matter. Every moment is precious, and therefore, the persecution, the martyrdom of Christians in the Middle East is a horrendous evil.
Yeah, it is. Yes, and it's not our prerogative to decide on life. That's only God's prerogative. Tracy actually followed up. She gave us a little more clarity. She says, thank you for answering my question. Dr. Walton does believe in the historical Adam. He believes Genesis is a story telling us how God fills and orders our home where He dwells with us, but isn't necessarily a story of the home being built.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Again, Tracy, I'm in the unfortunate position of not having read any of his work, and therefore I cannot comment on the work of John Walton. But again, I think you liked him as a teacher.
He was a very interesting teacher. I remember some things, but I can't remember it well enough. It was so long ago, even though I'm young. It was a long time ago, so I'm trying to remember. He was a very interesting speaker, though. And he, one of the good things I think I took from his classes were learning, oh, this could be thought of in a different way. That's interesting. And that's always important to be able to be critical about what you're reading and to take different perspectives to find which one is closest to the truth.
Yeah, we've said this many times. We don't think as much about our paradigms as we think with our paradigms. So it's great if John Walton caused you to think critically about whatever your paradigm happened to be. Chris,
I won't tell you.
You won't
just
tell
kidding.
Me. Okay, Chris Robinson, he says, your ministry changed my life. I was the most confused Christian. When I was saved, you taught me to read Scripture for all it's worth and to test all things in light of Scripture and, of course, hold fast to that which is true. Thank you very much, Chris. That is encouraging to me. When we come back from the station break on radio, I'm going to give the quote of the day. Of course, we're going to continue with the Bible Instrument Facebook listeners as we share your comments, answer your questions during the break. Again, you're listening to a special edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast as we meld the broadcast with our Bible Instrument Facebook listeners. Do remember, if you're listening on radio, you can call your question in. Well, listening anywhere, you can call your question in. 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be taking some of your questions via radio right after the break. Numerically, 888-ASK-HANK is 888-275-4265. Also coming up after the break, the quote of the day. This is something that I'm going to quote. It actually comes from the Bible. It has to do with persecution. Maybe some of you can think about what I might be thinking about as I give the quote of the day. That coming up in just a moment.
If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas and their influence in our world will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world, and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role. You must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. And also don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or the Heart of Christmas audiobook. And now here is Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I want to mention that we are being joined by listeners on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. And as Josh, my alter ego here, is reminding me, do not forget to mention YouTube. Thank you, Josh. That's something that I did forget to mention. People are listening to us on YouTube as well. And glad to have you join us on YouTube. The quote of the day, I'm going to give right from my heart. And it comes from the Beatitudes. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then he added, "Blessed are those who are insulted. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecutely, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Persecution is the lot of the Christian. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. The subject is not greater than the master. So persecution is part and parcel of the Christian faith. Now, the way you can avoid persecution is to be a secret agent Christian and never blow your cover before the unregenerate world. But if you are genuinely a Christian, you will face persecution, sometimes from within the church, oftentimes from outside the walls of the church. But persecution is the lot of the Christian. Just before we got back in the air, and there are a lot of people calling in via radio, and I want to get to you as well, but we were asked about a question. George from Georgia, who was making a point that God created Adam, he was created adult. If science would have looked at him, they would have said, the scientists would have said, that Adam was born or created many years ago, but this doesn't work when we look at how God does his job. Interesting comment. You know, when people ask whether Adam was created with age, I mean, did he have bunions on his feet? Did he have a belly button? I mean, these are questions that the Bible does not answer. What we do know is that Adam and Eve were created in the image and likeness of God. And they were the first human beings, and from those first human beings, we have all other human beings. The idea, however, that is behind the question is that maybe God created the universe with the appearance of age if he created Adam and Eve with the appearance of age. And I don't think you want to go down that particular line of reasoning. And if you want more information on that, I've written about that in detail in a book called The Creation Answer Book, which you can find on the web at equip.org. A lot of questions coming in about the earth. Chris on the radio is asking in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131, about the age of the earth. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Thank I'm doing great.
My, call.
My pleasure.
First time caller, and I just heard you talking about Genesis and the age of the earth, and I was just curious where you come down on, you know, new earth versus old earth, and I've not heard you talk about that before.
Yeah, I did write about that in the book that I just mentioned, the Creation Answer Book. I come down, and it's the first time I actually did, the first time when I was writing about the issue of origins, I came down in that book and actually explained to people what my position was. I believe that the universe is old, not that it is young. I do not believe that the idea of a 6,000-year-old Earth squares with what we find in the world. I mean, if you look at star life, for example, you know, you can find by looking at the stars, you can find sort of a chronology going on. You can see a star in infancy. You can find a star in midlife. You can find white dwarf stars that have burned out their nuclear fusion and have died, expired. And you can also figure out how long that takes. And that is something that is not measured in thousands of years. Many other examples could be given, sequential rings and ice cores. So many examples could be given that I don't think that it is based on the book of nature an informed opinion to say that the universe is young. And added to that, I don't think that the Bible really deals with the age of the universe. So if you want the answer to the question, you have to look at the book of nature.
Hank, I appreciate that very much. I tend to agree with you that I think it's old, but it's just something that I'm starting to study and think about, and I appreciate your time on the question.
You got it. Khalil in East Brunswick, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. You're next. Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
It is my privilege.
Yeah, so my question was just about the Eastern Orthodox faith. I grew up Protestant, and recently I've been curious about it, you know, and I also heard that, you know, about your conversion and everything, so I figured, you know, it'd be great. It was a great opportunity to be able to ask you this question. And it's basically about the intercession of the saints. You know, I like Eastern Orthodox faith, you know, because of the reverence they have, you know, for the things of God. And the only question is though, you know, as far as like with the daily prayers, you know, and praying to the saints, that's been a little difficult for me because, you know, I'm like, well, how do I know that the saints can hear me? Or, you know, how do I draw a reference from the Bible to, you know, justify me doing that? You know, so that's the difficult part for me. So I was just wondering, what's your insight on it?
Yeah, I think it is a difficult issue, and certainly there's been a great deal of dispute on this throughout church history. Remember that there are a couple of principles that the Bible gives us. Revelation comes to mind, Revelation chapter 22. John is seeing a vision, and the angel is showing him that vision. And John is overwhelmed by the vision. He bows down to worship the angel, and the angel says, "Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets. Worship God." So it's critical that we never worship saints, angels, or anyone else in place of God. Worship belongs to God alone. So what we're talking about here, Khalil, is not worshiping saints, not praying to saints. We can go directly into the throne room of grace and call our Father, Abba, Abba Father. Sometimes maybe somewhat irreverently translated as daddy, but the idea there is a beautiful idea that he is our Heavenly Father, that he cares about every single detail of our lives. So we can pray to God, and we can also pray that the saints are interceding for us, which is to say, we're not praying to saints. We are praying or asking saints to intercede for us before the throne room of grace. And just as I ask saints that are alive to intercede for me, particularly when I was diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma, I am very, very grateful for those who have gone on before, if they are indeed interceding for me at the throne room of grace. And I certainly believe that myself, but there are many Christians that would not believe that. But do remember, I'm not worshiping saints. I'm not praying to saints. I'm praying that the saints are praying for me.
Yeah, I understand it as well. You know, it's not about like praying to them or anything like that. But still, even just asking for them to pray for you, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think God, you know, whether they, you know, I try to look at it myself, like whether they actually hear me or not, because I'm not really sure. But if they do, I try to say, will God be upset with me for doing that, you know, for even asking them to intercede for me, you know?
Well, here again, I mean, I don't think that the Bible is conclusive on this issue. However, there is a history. There is holy tradition. That holy tradition is important to me. And so I'm believing that the holy tradition answers this question in a way that is not clarified in Holy Scripture. And if this tradition is a tradition that has been passed on from saint to saint throughout church history, I think that is significant, just as it is significant for Paul to pass on a holy tradition, as he does in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a tradition carried on from about the time of Messiah's murder to the time that Paul actually writes it down and is codified in Holy Scripture. So there are things that are important for us to learn from Holy Tradition as well. But again, this is one of the issues you can debate vigorously. You don't have to divide over. I am compelled by the passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Obviously, it has much to do with the saints that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. But there we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." And I think that if you take seriously, as the Orthodox do, the fact that something happened with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the paper-thin veil between this world and the world to come is pierced by resurrection. And so there's a communion or fellowship of saints below, just as there's a communion and fellowship of saints above. Let me take one more radio call, if I can. Rosalind in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Okay. I was asked a question by a coworker, who was Cain in the book of Genesis' wife? And I thought about it for a moment. I'm like, yeah, I was reading that the other day too, and I don't know. But I'm thinking maybe Adam and Eve might have had kids, because it wasn't really necessarily written in chronological order. And maybe that was his wife. I don't know. So do you have any insight on that?
Well, not anyone that's any better than yours, because I think you put your finger right on the trigger point of Scripture. Yeah, Adam and Eve lived approximately 1,000 years in rough numbers. They had plenty of time to propagate. And so the fact that we read in Scripture about Cain and Abel does not mean that they're the only two kids that Adam and Eve would have. If God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, I think they'd do just that. And so there are many, many children Adam and Eve would have had. And so Cain could have married a niece or a sister. At that time, the whole problem of incest wasn't part of the equation, because the defects that come from a cursed creation were not part of the problem at that time. The injunction, the Mosaic injunction against incest, came much, much later. So probably a niece, sister. You can read about that in the Creation Answer book, which I've talked about three times on the show today. That book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll continue for just a little bit with our Bible Answer Man Facebook listeners as well. Thank you for tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you for those who support this ministry. I couldn't be on radio, couldn't be on Facebook, couldn't be on YouTube, couldn't be doing what I'm doing if it were not for you. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. And do remember the significant issue that I brought up today, that of the persecution of Christians around the world. Be back tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences. Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization, so you don't have to. This month we're offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.